Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Earlier this year, the Juneau School Board voted to close some schools and buildings to address the district's budget crisis. As a result, Thunder Mountain High School students will have to move to Juneau Douglas Yada'at Kathle. A group of Thunder Mountain parents say they're unhappy with that decision, and they want to remove the school board's president and vice president. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
Shannon Kelly is standing on a median at the intersection of Egan Highway and Mendenhall Loop Road, facing a line of heavy traffic. She holds a poster board sign above her head. It reads, "Budget deficit? Con job." At a red light, a few passing drivers signal their support.
I love the honks.
Kelly's son is a junior at Thunder Mountain High School, just up the road from here. But next year, he'll have to move downtown. Because in February, the Juneau School Board voted for a plan that will move high schoolers to Juneau Douglas Yada'at Kathle and all middle schoolers to Thunder Mountain's building. It's an effort to address the district's financial woes. Kelly and other Thunder Mountain parents feel the new arrangement is bad for students. And they feel the board failed to understand this year's budget and the $7.9 million deficit that came with it. So they're here, petitioning on a Sunday afternoon in an effort to recall school board president Dee Dee Sorensen and vice president Emil Mackey.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous what they've done to our kids. You know, I feel like these kids who are juniors, you know, they already lost their eighth grade year to COVID, and now they're losing their senior year because these people make decisions without community input, and it's garbage.
Kelly said her son envisioned having his senior year at Thunder Mountain. Now, rather than switch schools, he plans to finish his graduation requirements with summer courses or homeschool. Melissa Loggy is also a Thunder Mountain parent with two teenage daughters, but she says the recall effort is not meant to pit the two campuses against each other.
I am not just for TM, I'm for two high schools.
The petitioners would prefer to blend middle schoolers and high schoolers for a 7 through 12 model at both campuses, but the school board already considered that idea and voted against it back in March. According to Vice President Mackey, a 7 through 12 arrangement would do little to close the budget gap.
Because it costs more money. It costs a lot more money, and it doesn't really fit the facilities.
He added that it would cause overcrowding at Thunder Mountain and more staff layoffs across the district. Sorensen, the school board president, knows the consolidation plan has been difficult for students and parents.
I understand that the displacement has caused a great deal of angst for a segment of the community, but I feel that we made the best decision for the greatest number of students.
And Sorensen and Mackey agree that the district's budget challenges go far beyond this year's deficit. Districts around the state have been running low on funds for years. State money for schools has lagged behind the rate of inflation, and now districts have to go without the federal money that floated them through the pandemic. Meanwhile, Mackey says the number of students in Juneau is declining.
This needs to be done. Ever since I've been elected to the board in 2015, this problem has been kicked down the road.
He said he's found plenty of people who support the board's decision. But at a table in front of Safeway in the Mendenhall Valley, petitioner Jenny Thomas finds plenty of people who don't.
Would you guys be interested in signing our petition?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
100%. If I could sign it 100 times, I would.
Ashley Anderson reaches for a pen as Thomas slides two booklets towards her.
This is for Emil Mackey, and this is for Dee Dee Sorensen.
Anderson's children are younger. Her daughter attends River Bend Elementary, which will stay open under the current plan. But her son attends Floyd Dryden, which will close. All of the middle schoolers will end up in the same building. Anderson says she worries about bullying or more competitive sports tryouts at the bigger school. But she also worries about what will happen when her son moves on to high school.
For him to go all the way down to Douglas, or Juneau Douglas, scares me because we live all the way out in the valley and it's not feasible for our family.
The petitioners need to gather just over 2,300 signatures to get the recall on the ballot. They've been at it for 3 weeks, and by Thomas's latest estimate, they have just under 1,000. If the recall succeeds, 5 of the 7 school board seats will be vacant this fall. None of the petitioners are eager to fill those spots. Sorensen had already planned to retire at the end of her regular term next year, but Mackey said he'd run again. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
One of the most iconic signs in Alaska collapsed early Saturday evening. The Iditarod's Burled Arch that marks the finish line of the annual sled dog race fell in Anvil City Square in Nome. Attendees of Atai's and Tiara's dance being held at the nearby Old St. Joe's Church stepped outside momentarily to cool off, and witnessed the arch crumble. Devin Bodine was among those who heard the commotion and rushed to the scene. Dust clouded the air, and debris could be found scattered across the damp ground where the arch stood just moments before. Bodine and other adults wanted to make sure no one was nearby or injured.
Just lucky no kids were playing on it at the time that it happened. You know, better to have be a sad day for the Iditarod fans than a sad day for families.
Robert Kuiper hand-carved the Brold Arch in his workshop in Sterling, Alaska. He was devastated to hear the news about the arch collapsing, a project that he says he spent hundreds of hours on. After crafting the piece, Kuiper carved his name into the sign that served the Iditarod from 2000 to 2024. He told us, quote, "That was like my baby," unquote. As locals looked over the ruins, some took home pieces of the historic sign, making it impossible to reassemble the original. No mayor and Iditarod Trail Committee member John Handlin has encouraged anyone who picked up a piece of the symbolic spruce to kindly return them to the city. Handlin also noted that plans were already underway to display the now-destroyed sign along with its predecessor at the Nome Recreation Center. A replacement is in the process of being commissioned with the hope that it'll be ready for the Iditarod in 2025. In Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
The University of Alaska and a union representing graduate students workers have reached a tentative contract agreement. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
The three-year deal with the Alaska Graduate Workers Association covers about 450 grad student workers, primarily at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. UA Public Affairs Director Jonathan Taylor says the contract reached by negotiators late yesterday includes a pay increase.
For master's students, their minimum pay will go up 14% to $24.50 an hour. And for PhD students, their minimum pay will go up 17% to $29 an hour. And those increases will put our compensation for graduate and PhD students in the top one-third of our comparative peers and our aspirational peers.
We were seeking an hourly wage that would put both PhD students and master's students above the poverty line and living expenses for Fairbanks.
UAF graduate worker Max Plichta says the master's student pay hike falls short of that goal, and he emphasizes Fairbanks' high cost of living.
You know, groceries are expensive, rent is expensive.
Another notable monetary item in the tentative contract is continued health care coverage for graduate workers. UA's Taylor says that's included despite the rising cost of insurance.
The cost for the exact same coverage as last year jumped $400,000 for the fiscal year that starts in July. So in this contract, we continue paying that 100%.
One health insurance concern is not addressed in the contract, according to Plichta. He says many student workers are frustrated with a lack of in-network providers, an issue he says could be revisited during the three-year contract. Plichta also highlights two non-monetary provisions of the contract, including establishment of a formal grievance process.
Going to really help graduate workers that are in kind of precarious situations at the university go through an official process and have additional protections.
He also points to the contract's movement toward a more stable employment status.
Away from at-will employment, where graduate workers can be let go for any particular reason or hardly any reason at all.
Plichta says the contract change will help attract grad students to the university. The contract is the first for the Alaska Graduate Workers Association, which formed last fall and follows a contentious week during which members threatened to strike and the university secured a court order to prevent. UA's Taylor notes that the deal reached yesterday followed less than 100 days of negotiations.
I believe that's the shortest amount of time, certainly in recent memory at the university, that we've been able to reach a bargaining agreement with one of our units.
The deal must still be ratified by grad student union members and approved by UA regents. Taylor says there's some urgency as the contract must also be considered by the Alaska legislature for inclusion in the soon-to-be-finalized FY25 state budget. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Today is the last ship-free day in Juneau of this cruise ship season. Tomorrow, the Norwegian Jewel and Ruby Princess will be ported in Juneau. And the sun was out in Juneau this afternoon, and it will likely stay out going into this evening. Today's high was 55 degrees, but is expected to drop down to around 36 degrees later tonight. Tomorrow, the skies are expected to remain clear and the sun will be out too. The high is anticipated to reach 58 degrees. Heading into the weekend, the sun will shine through Friday and Saturday, but it'll be rainy on Sunday. Thank you for listening.